While everybody gets settled, thank you to our musicians. That was beautiful this morning. If you're here today and you're visiting and you don't have a Bible, we have some extras here and we'd love to give you one so that you could follow along with the message this morning. Is there anyone here today without a Bible? Just lift your hand and we'll get one right there to you. There's Destiny in the back, right here in the front, Kevin. Anyone else need a Bible this morning? We believe with all of our heart and preach that the King James Bible is right here where Shannon is, right there. All right. Anyone else need a Bible? Lift your hand. We believe that the King James Bible is the pure, perfect, preserved Word of God. We make no apology for that. And if you care to... What happened there, guys? Why that's so, we'd be happy to sit down and tell you. But if you don't have a King James Bible here this morning, we'd be happy to give you one, and you can keep it as our gift. All right, so if anybody needs one, it would be a pleasure to give you one. You could take it home for your own. All right, everybody settle down. You ready for some preaching? Ready for some preaching? All right. I know, you're thinking about football now. Ready for some preaching. All right. Brother Mike Wilps has been our missionary for 4 years now, and... some people ask, how come you guys don't support so many missionaries? I mean, the typical church has, you know, 25, 30 missionaries and their pictures all over the map and everything. But the truth is, and there's a missionary here, he can tell you the truth, most of those churches don't really know their missionaries. It's just somebody they send a check to every month. And we've never wanted that from the beginning. We never wanted that. We wanted to know our missionaries, and we wanted to do more than know them. We wanted to go and visit them and help them. And we have been numerous times to every one of our missionaries except one, and we're going to fix that next year. We haven't been to Sao Galeoto yet, but we're going in 2014. But we've been 4 times already to Brother Mike in Paraguay, and we've only been supporting him for a few years. But in that time, we've gotten to know that he is the real thing, the real deal. There are many who go to the mission field, and they didn't win souls or care about people when they were here, but I think sometimes they think magically that when you get on the foreign mission field, all of a sudden you're going to be this great caring missionary and go out and win people to Christ. But if you weren't doing it here before you go, then you're not going to do it there when you get there. Right. And Mike was doing it here before he went to Paraguay, and he's still doing it there in Paraguay, winning people to Christ. He started 3 churches that are doing real well, and his desire is when he goes back in the early part of next year, after the babies are born, that he's going to be starting a 4th church right in the city, in the capital city, and that's his desire. The churches that he's begun are in the hands of Paraguayans. They're preaching and ministering there, and it's just been a blessing for us to be there and watch it and see with our own eyes the way that missionary work should be done. And over those few years, we've grown to love Mike and Marcy like our own. I wish they were our own. I wish they were like part of this church family. I told them, we're adopting you. You're ours. I don't care what other church you might be from. You're ours. You belong to us. And we love him and have been blessed by being around him. Our guys, I think, have come back differently. All the guys that went to Paraguay, we came back differently. Now, people say this is a very loving church and we hug too much, but we don't even know how to hug. We didn't even know anything about hugging till we went to Paraguay. This guy hugs total strangers. We were hugged from the minute we got off the plane to the minute we got back on the plane to come back here. And we came back here and found ourselves hugging each other more and loving each other more. And Mike just sort of stirs that up in you. He's just got a big, gigantic heart. He not only loves the Lord, but he loves people, and it's evident. And we're really happy to have you be able to be here this morning with us and to preach, and we hope we can be a blessing to you, brother. Come on. All right. Yeah, just clip it on there.
What's even funny is because that's what I would do. can everyone hear me good? No? No, can you turn it up? Can everyone hear me good in the back now? Everyone can hear me good. Wow. Before I even speak, can we just look at Ephesians chapter 6? Ephesians chapter 6. I'm overwhelmed. because I love every one of you from my heart. And, you know, before I got saved, I was very passionate, like many of you, about anything I did. Played football, worked, I played college football, went to school, got a degree in horticulture, you know, friends and sports and whatever we do, it's with passion. Things that you love in life, you care about. You do the best you can. Everyone does that. You don't even have to be a Christian to do that. You know, even bad guys, murderers, they do it with passion. They kill people with passion. And, I mean, so the human race, things that we care about, things that we do it with our hearts. All of us, no matter what it is. And Ephesians chapter 6, look with me in verse 5, says, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling." Well, how do you really show that? It's an attitude. You know, we say fear and trembling. What does that mean? It's an attitude. It's your heart. It's how you respond to people. In singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Okay? So we need to serve one another as unto Christ. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. If Jesus Christ, your Savior, walked in this room, wouldn't you want to hug him 1,000 times? Well, that's why I hug you 1,000 times. See, I treat you as I would treat Jesus Christ. But then someone said, "Why? You ain't Jesus." Well, maybe you should love like him. See, this is real now. And it says, unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers. It's not doing it to get a show and people to look at you think you're special. But as the servants of Christ, look at this. And we always say in Spanish, de corazón. Doing the will of God from the heart. Now, I'm being serious. And you know, Sister Margaret, Pastor Beach, I love them so much. And sometimes I feel weird because I love them so much, I don't know how to express it more. Someone says, "You don't have to." Well, yeah, but I want to. I'm serious. You know, when I played football, I gave my whole life to it. Now that I'm saved and Jesus is in my heart and I have brethren, I don't want to just love half-heartedly. Yeah, I love you, brother. Praise the Lord. Pray for you. No. That's why it's brother. It's with your heart. Everything you do should be with passion. That's not character. I've heard someone say, "Well, that's just your personality. You're from Philly. We're from New York. We're just passionate people." That's not true. That's not true. That's giving an excuse. "Well, I'm just not that way." Well, maybe you should change your way. I've heard that before. "Well, that's just how I am." Well, Jesus came to change who you are. We should never be happy how we are. The Bible says do things with all of your heart. When we sing hymns, we should sing with all of our heart. When we hug each other, it should be with all of our heart. Or it shouldn't. I'm serious. When we preach, when we sing, when we read, it should be with passion, with all of our heart. And I don't understand. You see preachers and Christians all the time, when they talk about the government, they talk about Obama, and they talk about all these things, and the wickedness, and the world, and this. And when they speak, foam's coming out of their mouth. With so much passion, they're pounding the pulpit. No, listen to me. That's okay. If that's how they feel, that's okay. But when they talk about the love of Christ, oh yeah, by the way, that. What? There's more passion about the wickedness in the government than the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart? Something's wrong. Would you agree? Would you agree with that? You know, would you do? I just want to say, and I mean this from my heart, I love every single one of you. Every one of you I love as my own family. Pastor V said, "I wish he was one of our own." I am one. I'm already here. I've already claimed you before you claimed me, brother. I adopted you. I love every one of you. You know, and I tell people all the time, I love them. Some of you came in, right? And I said, "I love you. How you doing?" You don't even know me. I had one time, I go to a lot of churches. I'm a missionary to Paraguay, South America. We've been there almost 9 years. And I go into churches that are real fancy and people have suits on. I mean, they're not as like, you know, compassionate like we are hugging one another. They're real like, you know, proper and this. And I just bust the thing wide open, kicked, "Hey, praise God." And I love them. And I tell everyone I love them. And the brothers in Christ. And I love lost people too. And I had one man actually angry at me. He was bothered for some reason. Like bothered. A lot of people were bothered around Jesus Christ too. And this was his thing with me. This is what he said. "Brother, can I speak with you for a minute?" This is a true story. I said, "Sure." He says, "Seriously, you love everyone. It's kind of over the top, don't you think? That's what he told me. He's like, no, yeah, you can love someone, but you're a little extreme. Wow. Wow. I said, he says, you don't even know me, and you told me you love me. I said, I understand how you feel. I said, but you know what? The reason is because when I didn't know God, I had God in my mind, but I didn't know Jesus in my heart. When I didn't know God, Jesus still loved me. And the Bible says that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. That's in 1 John. Brethren, can I tell you something? Some of you here and you have a problem with forgiveness. You know why? You can't give something you don't have. How can you forgive someone from the heart if you've never been forgiven? Some of you have a problem with love and loving people, your enemies, loving people who did you wrong. You can't love them. I don't understand how people love them. What do you mean? You're right. Listen, how are you going to give me $5 if you don't have $5? You can't give something you don't have. If you don't have forgiveness in your heart, if you don't have love in your heart, how can you forgive? How can you love? You can't. Isn't that true? Am I lying? Am I telling the truth? And, you know, I another thing is before I get started is that I've been saved now for 20 years. Can you hear me good in the back? I've been saved for almost 20 years. That's not a long time. Some of you have been saved a lot longer than I have. And praise the Lord for that. But I've been saved almost 20 years. I was religious. I knew all about God. I knew Jesus died on the cross. I believed the Bible. But I had God here in my mind. Knew a lot of things about God. But I personally didn't know Jesus Christ in my heart as my Savior, my God. What was I going to say? I could talk about religion, but I couldn't talk about it. Jesus personally in my life. Nor could I show it. Because you can't show something you don't have. Isn't that true? Amen. You know, you're a Christian, you should love. I know, but I can't. Why? Well, maybe you don't have love in your heart. See? When you have something, it's easy to give. You got $10? I got $10. I got $20. You want $20? I have it. I can give it. But how do you say, give me $10? I don't have it. And you're frustrated because, like, how am I going to give you $10 if I only have two? You see? When Jesus Christ comes in your heart, you have everything. Love, forgiveness, joy, peace. That passeth all understanding. I preach a lot being excited about, you know, I've been saved 20 years and, you know, I'm still excited about Jesus. I'm still excited that day that Jesus Christ came into my heart. I tell people all the time, the greatest day of my life wasn't the day I got married, even though that was a great day. The greatest day of my life was when I have four children. I have four children, two on the way. That's great. That's, they're great days. That's not the greatest day of my life. Greatest day of my life. Listen to this, please. Was the day I knew I was lost. People don't understand that. See, because when I realized I'm lost without God, when I cared about my spiritual condition with a holy God, it wasn't just like, yeah, I know about God. Yeah, I know I got to change. Yeah, I know I got to change around. It was when I was like, I'm lost. I'm against God. I'm going to hell. I don't know. I have God here, not here. With all my heart, I was like, I'm lost. I need a Savior, my Savior, Jesus Christ for me, me and Him. I need Him, not just to pay my bills, but to save my sinful soul, to forgive me. And with all my heart, with on my knees, with tears in my eyes, I cried out to Christ to save my soul. The greatest day of my life is when I was lost, because then I can be found. Only someone that's sick in their heart needs a physician. If you're not sick, I'm fine. Yeah, we're all sinners, but I'm fine. I'm not that bad. I'm not as bad as this guy or her or him. And you compare each other with each other, and that's not wise. Okay? We all need to be saved. We all need Jesus Christ. I had someone come up to me and tell me, Brother Mike, I heard you in your testimony. You said you were saved 20 years. I was saved 40 years. And I heard you in your testimony, because I say this a lot. And I heard that in your testimony that you're still excited. Well, I just want to tell you something. I've been saved 40 years, and that's why I'm not that excited. You've been saved half the time I have. So trust me, it'll get colder. You know, I've been there, done that, heard it all. Come on, I was raised in this. I was born in the Christian home. I've heard this my whole life. Saved 40 years. I'm going to get excited about something I've known my whole life. I said, brother, can I, with a lot of respect, can I sing you a song? And those that you know me, some of you know me, I'll sing a song right there. And I said, can I sing you a song? He looked at me, sing a song. I said, no, seriously, from my heart, can I sing a song? He said, okay. I said, all right. And I sang them this. I did, right there. I said, I remember the joy that I had as a boy when he saved me. The peace that I had, I was happy and glad when I knew that he heard my crying. Some of my friends try to say when you get a little older, the fire in your soul will grow a little colder. What I got was more than a dose of religion. I became a genuine born-again Christian, and I stand here now to testify. I still get a thrill knowing the Lord saved me. I still got a feel of the joy that he gave me. And brethren, it's sweeter every year. You don't have to be saved 10, 20 years and be bitter. You can be happier. Keeping in touch with Jesus, he will keep you sweet.
Amen.
That's what it is. And I want to talk to you about something very important. And I do love you, every one of you. And you know another thing? Every one of you, everyone, I want you to listen to me. Every one of you are important to God. I'm not that important. I had one time, I had an evangelist, well known, but I don't have to say his name. An evangelist. He was actually in our church at Victory. And I went up to him and I said, hey, brother, do you know you're important to God? You're important to God. And instead of him saying, oh, thanks, man, you too, praise the Lord. That's normal, right? Praising God together. And carried. You know what he said? This is what he said. I'm not making this stuff up. You can't make this stuff up. And he said, I'm important to a lot of people. I'm important to my wife. I'm important to my kids. I'm important to my job. I said, brother, I know, praise the Lord. I just want to let you know, but you're important to God. Oh, wow. We're all important to God. He couldn't receive love. He couldn't receive a compliment. He couldn't just be blessed. He couldn't. Something was wrong in his heart. And I said, with a lot of respect, I understand his heart. I put my head down. I said, brother, can I please tell you something from my heart? I said, you are important to God. I said, you don't have to feel important in your own eyes. Well, that's fine. But to God, you're very important. I think you're offending God right now. Why? What do you mean? I said, you're so important that if you're the only person alive in this world, if you were the only person here in New York and Staten Island, only you existed in this world, God the Father would still send his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you, only for you.
Amen.
That's pretty important. That's how important you are to God. And we live like he's not. We talk about God in our mouth, but we don't have God in the heart. You're so important to God. Don't you believe that? Do you know that God died on the cross for your sins? I've heard it all the time. Oh, he died on the cross for everyone's sins. Nope. He died on the cross for your sins. Personally, individually for you. And then after you accept it, it's for someone else. After you accept it, it's for someone else. It's personal. It's not a group thing. It's not like, oh yeah, he died for everyone. We're all fine. Just believe and we're going to heaven. No, you have to personally realize you are the sinner. Whom Christ died specifically for you. Why? You need a Savior. If you have kids, raise your hand. Do you love your children? I love my children. You love them a lot? Have you ever tried to count the hairs on your children's head? I guarantee you haven't. And even if you tried, you probably couldn't. Do you know the Bible says in Matthew that God the Father counted every hair on your head? God cares about every detail of your life. He cares about your heart and what you're going through. There's nothing you can do that Christ can't forgive. You know, there's three things that I love that God can't do. You know, God can't do a lot of things. I like that. See that? God can't lie.
Amen.
God can't lie, brethren. You know another thing God can't do? There's not a promise in God's word that he can't keep. He keep every promise. Men lie. People lie. Let us down. But God and his promises, he'll never lie. Never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen.
And you say, then why did God leave me when this happened? He didn't leave you. He was there waiting. You left him. Or is he where you left him? He's waiting for you. And you know, if you take one step to God, one step, he'll run 30 steps to you. God doesn't want you to suffer to find him. He wants to know he wants to know you and walk with you. He wants to forgive you. You know the third thing God can't do? There is not a sin in your life that God can't forgive. It doesn't matter what you've done in secret. It doesn't matter what you've done in private. It doesn't matter about your conscience sometimes kill you of the past and things that's happened and things. And you feel guilty. There is nothing that my Jesus can't forgive and clean. There's not a sinner that Christ can't save. No matter what you've done. That's our God. That's our Christ. I've seen it in Paraguay. The most worthless sinners that everyone rejected. Christ said, I'll save you. I'll take you in. But he won't just force you. You have to come to him. You have to believe him. You have to accept him. Jesus said, you will not come unto me that you might have eternal life. What does that mean? Christ wants to give every one of you eternal life. That's live forever after you die. When you die, go straight to heaven. Live with God forever, not go to hell. Be saved from hell. But you have to come. Jesus said, ye will not come that ye might have eternal life. So what does that mean? Well, if you come, you'll get eternal life. All I have to do is come. That's all you have to do. Come unto me, Jesus said, and be ye saved. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there's none else. There is nobody in your family. There is nobody in this room. There's nobody in the world that wants to save you more than God himself. So if you're not saved, what's the problem? God wants to save you. You think God sent his only son to be beaten by men, his beard ripped, smashed in the face, blood coming down, so you can go to hell? No. So you can have a bag of sin on your back that's loading you down, and you smile to try to be happy, but inside you're not happy. Do you know the saddest person alive is someone walking around with a bag of sins on their back that's not forgiven? Because they try to be happy, but inside they're dying and miserable. You try to put a fake smile, but inside you're dying. There's no joy. That's because you have sin in your life that Christ has not forgiven yet. Why hasn't he forgiven? You think God's saying, I'm not forgiving you unless you do this, this. No, no, no. Doesn't matter what you've done. Christ wants to forgive you. Amen? Can you look with me briefly in John chapter 19, verse 38? Wow. I've been battling all morning, and I'm going to pray. And who am I? Listen, I submit to the pastor. I love the pastor. I'll do whatever he says. And I'm serious about that. But I have two messages for this church. Two. And I didn't know what to pray. Honestly, I just switched three times in my seat. I even said, okay, Lord, I'll preach this message. Then something touched me and said, okay, now I understand. I have another message. If the Lord allows, I would love another opportunity, one more opportunity, before I go to Paraguay for 10 more years to preach another message I have for the church that I believe it's for you. If not, you know, it's okay. But I have another message, too, that I'd love to give to you. But one of them, one of the messages that God has given me specifically for you, for who? For me? For you. Is where? John 19:38. Look with me, please. John chapter 19, verses 38. Okay. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews. Let's stop right there. Father, take the message, drive it in the hearts of men. Save the religious but lost. Save the sinner closest to hell this morning. A Christian that's not been witnessing, that doesn't have joy, that's absorbed with bitterness and bad thoughts and anger and judging and has no liberty to love and accept love and just be free in the Holy Ghost. I pray you bring them back today. Thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, many people today profess to know God. Be honest with you. In New York, there's a lot of, you know, bad things, but there's a lot of good people too. And you know, in New York, almost 90% believe in God. They say they believe in God. They believe that there's one God, there's a creator. 90%, of course. And it's America. There's a lot of people that don't believe, but the majority still believe. Whether they're saved or not, they believe there's a God. Buddhists believe that there's something. Muslims believe there's a God. Christians, all types, believe that there's a God. Okay? Many people profess to know God with their mouth. Well, I know God. I know all that stuff. I was raised in the church. Many people today profess to know God, but rarely, listen to this, but rarely talk about Jesus in a personal way. It's unbelievable. Now, sure, people say things like, words like, amen, glory to God. Well, anyone can say that. Anyone can memorize Christian speech. Thanks to God. God's good. And we all the time. You know, we just have these cliches, and they're good. We should still continue them. They're good words. We need to continue that. But there are so many people that have learned cliches that know how to speak about the things of God. Well, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. But they never really talk about Jesus Christ to others in a personal way. And I'm not even talking about this. I've met a lot of people that can only talk about God mechanically. I'll give you an example. Someone comes and gets saved. Instead of talking to them from the heart, it's Romans chapter 3, verse 10. For there's none righteous, no, not one. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned. And what you do is you have memorized a system and you just do it. Zero passion, zero heart, zero relationship. Nothing's real in your life, but you've memorized a lot of truth in your head. See, a lot of times there are people who believe the whole Bible. They believe every word in the Bible. The problem is they believe in their head, but what they believe on the page is not real in their heart. That's the difference. You know, a lot of people go to hell by 18 inches, head to heart. A lot of people have a head knowledge. I believe in God. What do you mean? Of course I believe in God. I know Jesus died on the cross. I have my religion. I have my faith. What are you trying to say? Well, of course, you have a head knowledge of God and you've been there and done that. But when have you come to Christ as a lost sinner going to hell, needing a savior from your heart? I don't know if that ever happened. I prayed a prayer when I was young. Did you get saved? Well, I don't know. My mom said I did. Well, did you? Well, they say I prayed and I got saved. If I pray, I get saved. Well, did Jesus come in? I'm not really sure. Well, I have to believe. I don't really believe Jesus came in, but if the Bible says I... Brett, what? That's not in the Bible. I don't. Who taught you that? Who taught us to do that? Let me give you an example. Did I just hit you in the leg? 100% sure. Like, tomorrow I'll say, remember I hit you in the leg? You'll be like, yeah, I remember. Right? Okay. Thank you. Now think. Do you think, I'm going to ask you, do you think Jesus Christ, the Son of God, coming into a sinner's chest, you believe that, right? Coming into their heart, do you think that would be more... you'll remember that more than hitting someone's leg?
There you go. Come on.
If you could be saved and not know it, you could be lost and not know it. Okay? If Jesus Christ, the Son of God, comes into your chest, not just always lived in your mind, but Jesus truly left the throne, came down to a worthless, filthy sinner, and came into your chest, and saved you. And before there was darkness, now there's light. If someone's sleeping in your bed, you're going to know it. Some of you have prayed prayers and you believe everything in your mind and you're trying to live the Christian life and you're frustrated. The more I do, the more burden. Why? The Bible says if you love Christ, His commandments aren't grievous. I want to serve Christ. I want to give Him my life. He gave me His. It's only honorable. Isn't that true? My question is to you, you know, when I'm up north, I don't ask people if they're Christian. No, up north, everyone's Christian. No matter. Jehovah's Witness, Mormon, Catholic, Baptist, Bible Church, everyone's Christian. You believe in Jesus, you're Christian. Okay, all right. But if you get, are you saved? Have you ever been saved? Tell me when you were saved. People get nervous. What? Well, I was baptized. No. Well, I go to church. No. So up north, I don't ask people, are you Christian? I ask, have you ever been born again? Have you ever been saved? Tell me about it. But when I'm down south, I live down south now for, 12 years. Now, when I'm down, a little bit more, but when I'm down south, they know the terminology, saved, born again. Okay? Because the majority is not Catholic. It's Protestant or Christian or Bible-believing or whatever label you want to put on it. So they learn tricks too. Are you saved? Of course I'm saved. Okay. So you know what I ask people down south? You know what I ask them? Excuse me, brother or sister, can you tell me the time you knew you were lost going to hell? And you know what they say? Excuse me? It floors them. Was there ever a time in your life, tell me the time that you knew you were lost going straight to hell. Tell me about it. And they get nervous. Because what are they going to tell? Some, they never realized they were lost. They prayed a prayer, but they never realized they were lost. They went to church, but they never really had a personal relationship, an experience with Jesus Christ. You see? And they get nervous, and then I lead them to Christ. You see, Many people profess to know God, but rarely talk about Jesus. In what way? In a real way. I was lost. I remember I was religious. I had God in my head, but I didn't know Jesus in my heart. And one day, lost without God, I came to realize that Jesus Christ died for me to save me from hell. I didn't just know it here. Now I believe it in my heart. And I, with all my heart, asked Christ to save me and come into my heart because I trust Him as my Savior. And guess what? When it happened, 2 Corinthians 5:17, we don't like it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. Tell me that when that happened, while I was raising that, not what. I love that. What if I went around right now and said, okay, we're going to take a microphone. The pastor's giving me liberty. I feel led by the Lord. We're going to have testimony time. And we're not here to embarrass you. We're a church, and we love you, and we care about you. And what we want to do is start from here and tell us when you were lost going to hell and when Jesus came in your heart, and tell us now the power and the joy and the love that you're experiencing and the forgiveness you have. Tell us about that personal relationship. And we go one by one. No one can leave. We lock the doors. Some of you would be really nervous. And you wouldn't be nervous because you're not a public speaker. Well, I just don't like speaking in front of people. And especially women, because they say, well, I don't like to talk. When you're home, you're yelling at your husband, yelling at your kids. Trust me, you know how to talk. I mean, come on. You talk about things you like. Let's go shopping. But when it comes to Jesus, you're like, I prayed a prayer. Now I'm in church. And no one's convinced. Listen, what if we went one by one? Tell us how you got saved and the love of God came in your heart. Now you were lost going to hell, but now you're going to heaven. I guarantee you, some of you, your face would be red. You'd be so embarrassed because you have nothing to say. What are you going to say? Well, I believe in God, but when did you get saved? Well, I prayed a prayer. Okay, but tell me about it. I don't know. And we wouldn't make fun of you. We wouldn't laugh. We'd cry with you and we'd say, would you like to come to Jesus? Would you like to know Jesus? Aren't you tired of the bitterness and hate and the burden and the pressure you have in your heart and depression? Aren't you tired of this big weight, playing church, playing God, acting like you know God, but there's this burden on your back? It's called sin in your life that Christ hasn't forgiven yet. You can't fool God. You can fool me. You can't even fool your name. You can't fool God. They never talk about Jesus to others in a real way. They never talk about how they got saved. You know, I see many times in the Bible that when a sinner gets saved, a sinner comes to Jesus. Or when Jesus influences somebody a certain way, heals them, they had devils, cast out devils, they were blind, now they can see. When Jesus passed by and touches a sinner, influences their life, I see that they always want to talk about, personally, from their heart, what great things Jesus has done in their lives. Look with me in Luke chapter 8. Look with me. Praise the Lord. Amen. Is there something in your heart between you and the Lord? Are you drifting apart, not as close as before? There's nothing you can do that He will not forgive. Nail it to the cross. Let it die so you can live. Nail it to the cross. Put it under the blood. Drown your pain and every stain in the mercy flood. Nail it to the cross. Find hope and forgiveness. Kneel at the tree and walk away free. Nail it to the cross. It's about the cross. And in Luke chapter 8, verse 38. Luke chapter 8, verse 38. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. Do you know the very first fruit of someone being saved is you want to be with Jesus? Every time someone got saved, they were like, Jesus, I just want to be with you. And Jesus said, listen to me. I'm always with you. When you believe in me, when you receive me as your Savior, I come in your heart and I live in you. I'll send a comforter, the Holy Ghost, and I'll abide with you forever and seal you. Don't worry. Go and talk to your friends. Show the love of Christ to everyone. But don't worry. You're with me. And I'm with you. Don't worry. But there are people who say they're saved, and they don't care about being with Jesus. Their relationship is go to church, it's time to go to church. There's no relationship at home, fighting, bickering, bad words, contention, bitterness, no one can love. Everyone's I've never seen so many people in my life upset about everything. Is that the spirit of the Lord? Always offended. Always. Always offended. Maybe if you stop thinking you're so important and love someone else, you won't be so offended. When you're so into yourself, you're so worried, how did he talk to me? How did he talk to me? Break out of your shell and say, you know, it's not about me anymore. It's about Christ. It's about people. It's about getting down and look, shining his shoes and loving them. Man, I love you, man. You say, well, I don't have to be like that to show love. No, but how do you show it? See, there's always an excuse. There's always an excuse why not to love and be filled with Jesus. Well, Brother Mike, I don't have to be like you to be right with God. You're right, but how do you have to be? Can you show me how God wants you to be? I mean, can you show me? Okay, you don't have to be like me. Be like Jesus then. But can you show us? A lot of people say, well, I believe in Jesus. Can you show me you believe in Jesus? Why go to church? Well, Mormons go to church. Jehovah's Witnesses go to church. Satan worshippers go to church. Anyone can go to church. Listen, just if I walk into a car parking lot, does that make me a car? No. Just because you walk in the church building doesn't make you a Christian. It's from the heart. It's coming to Christ as a sinner in need of a Savior. From your heart. The whole Bible says, for with the heart man believeth on the righteous. It never says, yeah, just understand it. The devil understands it. You know the Bible says, listen to this. The Bible says, for the devils also believe in God and tremble. Amen. So what's the difference between you and the devil? No, and I'm being serious. I'm not trying to be funny. This is how I preach. This is how I explain it. What is the difference between you and a devil? Let's talk about it. Devils believe in God. Do you believe in God? You know Bible doctrine? So does the devil. Why go to church? Sometimes the devil's in church. So then what's the difference? Can I tell you something? The devil doesn't love God with all of his heart, his mind, body, and soul. And the devil doesn't love people as himself. If you're truly saved, you'll love God with all of your heart. And you'll love people. And you'll show it and talk, Jesus Christ, I'm Jesus. And people are like, man, I don't understand a lot, but he looks like he loves Jesus. You can't just show the world you love Jesus by just believing him. The devil believes in him. Am I telling the truth? Am I lying? Now look, Luke chapter 8, verse 38. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away saying, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done in thee. I've met people in Paraguay. People had 10 kids in Paraguay. And I go to their parents. I say, are you Christian? Oh, we're Christian. Are you saved? They don't even know what that is. And they just say, yeah, I'm saved. And I'll hear their, and I'll say, but you guys believe, oh yeah, we believe in God. We're a family religion. We know we go to church once in a while. We believe in God. And then you see the kids going, yeah, right. And I talk to them, what's going on? And their own kids think this. They say they love Jesus, but they never show Jesus. All there is rules and regulations. Well, that's law. Moses. No grace, no tears, no love, no forgiveness, no mercy. So the kids are like, Mom and Dad, you say you love Jesus and believe in God, but we see zero Jesus. We see nothing. Well, I got Bible, bless God, so does the devil. If you're saved, show you're saved. Well, I don't have to show I'm saved. That's personal. It's deep down inside. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Bless God, they better know I'm a Bible believer. No one cares less to know what you know until they know you care. Amen. Amen. I know personal experience with my wife and my kids. Sometimes I'm so hard on my wife. Sometimes I just see all of her errors and criticize. Why are you like this? Why are you like this? Why are you like this? Why are you? No grace, law. But when I'm with everyone, I show a lot of love and grace. And God smote me. Can you show Jesus with your wife? Yes, Lord, I'm sorry. I love you. Help me. You will only want to get better if you love Jesus. Because if you don't love Jesus, this is how I am. Accept me who I am. wow, devils talk like that. Well, the devil talks like that. I've fallen. I sinned against God. What? I ain't changing for nobody. You change to me. I ain't changing. Man, I guarantee that person's lost. If you love Jesus Christ in any way, I've even seen backslidden Christians in sin, drinking. But when you tell them the wrong, they hang their head and they go, I know I'm not right, preacher. I think he's more saved. Well, it's not someone's more saved or not. You understand what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say, it's just amazing. I've been backslidden. I've fallen so many times. And I've known that I was wrong. But deep in my heart, because I'm saved, because I love Jesus, there's that little voice saying, what are you doing? And the Holy Spirit doesn't leave me alone. But some of you sin and don't even care. Some of you sin and you're like, well, where's Jesus? You've made some bad decisions with the selfish thought in mind. You had the best intentions for the goals you set in life. Relationship with God secure, but your fellowship is gone. You can choose to walk with Him again. You don't have to walk alone. Where is Jesus? Did we leave Him far behind? Did we take for granted He was here, walking with us all the time? Where is Jesus? To find Him once again, you must go back to the place where you left Him. Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? Look with me in Luke 8:39. Jesus said, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Amen. It's natural. Amen. It's humanly natural. Humanly speaking. I'm tired of preachers giving excuses. Well, he's just backslidden. Preachers, brethren, in a Bible suit, in order to backslide, you have to front slide. Well, he's just backsliding. Well, when did he front slide? I'm telling you, it's true. We got to watch what we say and what we do. Because everyone's giving an excuse. Well, I just don't live right because I'm not right. Pray for me. You don't even care. Just pray for me. I'm backsliding, sure. Wow. So what are we going to say now? What's our message now? Get saved. You'll live like the devil. You won't care. Don't worry. You'll never preach that because no one can save them. Right? Listen, brethren. Listen, when was the day that you knew in your heart that you were a sinner before God and you cared? Not just like, yeah, we're all sinners. What do I have to do? A, B, and C. What's the ingredients? Oh, I'm sick. Read the directions. Oh, I do this. Okay, fine. Zero heart. Zero passion. Zero conviction. Zero, I'm a sinner going to hell. I need a Christ. Zero of that. Just, and then you do it and nothing changed. You're the same person now. Then supposedly before you prayed. The only difference is you got better clothes on, you come to church. You know a little bit more Bible doctrine. Where's Christ? Forgiveness, love, power. Some of you have been saved 20 years. Do you love more? All right, I mean, do people see more of Jesus in you? Not really, preacher. Well, what are you doing? A lot of Bible knowledge. Bible knowledge is nothing if you don't live it. Nothing. Vain. Pastor Beats, show me. I'm his disciple. 1 Corinthians 13, you can know all the mysteries of the Bible, all knowledge. You have charity, you are nothing. You know what that just taught me? Well, then the greatest thing of everything is charity, yes. Can we have both Bible knowledge and charity? Yes. That's even greater. Yes, right? When were you lost? When was there a time that you realized, I'm lost going to hell, I'm a sinner, I need Christ? And with all of your heart, you came to Jesus and asked Him to save you, and guess what He did? And when He came in and saved you, you knew it and you loved everyone. You loved the Word. You desired to be with Christ. And everyone sees it. What happened to him? What happened to her? Jesus just came in their life. Really? And then your life is a testimony. And then the world sees, man, you know, am I speaking the truth or am I lying? Do you know even when Jesus told people not to tell everyone, they couldn't be quiet? Look with me in Mark 7. I'm almost done. Look at Mark 7. Mark 7:35. brethren. It's true, brother. It's true. Mark chapter 7, verse 35. You guys are so special to God. Every one of you. Mark chapter 7, verse 35. You ready? Look at verse 33. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears. And he spit and touched his tongue and looked up to heaven. This is Jesus. He sighed and said unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened and the string of his tongue was loosed and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. So Jesus one time, listen to this. Jesus one time said, listen, I just saved you or I just healed you. I just did a great miracle in your life. You know, and you got some great things to tell, but don't tell anyone. Now, watch what we read. But the more he charged them, you know what that means? He had to constantly say, don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone. Why doesn't the Bible just say, and he said, don't tell anyone, and then this? It says, he said to them, don't charge them, don't tell anyone. And then it says, the more he charged them, you know what that means? Let me just give you an example. Ready? Lost, wicked, sin inside religion in the mind, not Jesus in the heart. A lot of knowledge of God in your head, but you don't know Jesus personally as your personal Savior. You've never been saved. You've never come to Christ. You've never asked God for forgiveness and asked Jesus to come in your heart and save you from hell. You've never thought, yeah, you believe in it, but you never actually did received it. And you're, you know, you got all this, you know, stuff. And Jesus just heals you. Bam, bam, bam. They're like, wow, I can see, I can speak. I'm free, I feel clean. And Jesus goes, listen, be quiet. What do you mean, Jesus? Okay, Jesus, what do you mean, be quiet? This is great. What are you talking about? I feel like there's a brush, a soap. Soap was just scrubbing my soul clean. I feel so free. I feel clean. I feel like a little child again. Free. I love everyone. I forgive everyone. I love God. I just want to do right. I want to obey the God. What? I got to tell everyone. And Jesus said, no, don't tell anyone. They were. I believe this with all my heart. Because it says the more he charged. I believe they were like, okay, Jesus, I can't help it. You're awesome. What are you talking about? And the more Jesus said, don't tell anyone, he charged them more. They couldn't help it. And look, it says, but the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it. Wow. Well, doctrinally speaking, Jesus was not saying, I don't want you to witness. He was saying, not right now, because he had a place to go. He had to go to Jerusalem. He was appointed to die at a certain time, a certain place. And he knew that if everyone starts telling about Jesus, thousands of people would come to him and he couldn't do. But not right now. Listen to me, and I'm almost done. Please listen. I'm going to ask you a question. We're going to participate. When a Christian is on fire for God, when a Christian's heart is right with God, when someone's truly saved and right with God, when a Christian is in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, he or she will praise the Lord and talk about Jesus and about being saved to others. Do you agree with that statement, yes or no? Okay, all right. If a professing Christian, if someone says, well, I'm a Christian because I believe in Jesus, but that's all here, and it's all here, but I never got here yet. This morning, if you're here and you believe in God, that's great, but you need to get saved. You need Jesus Christ in your heart, and I'm going to show you how you can do that this morning. And we will rejoice. All of your sins will be gone. When you die, you'll go straight to heaven. You won't go to hell when you die. You'll love, you'll be loved, you'll be forgiven. Your sins, all of them, from when you're a little girl or boy to now, forever, will be totally ever more forgiven. You'll be white as snow. Women, you'll be a virgin again. In God's eyes. Men, clean, like a little boy. Pure, virgin, clean, holy in God's sight. If you come to Christ with your heart, but you got to come. Not just sit in your seat and go, well, I know all that. I'll do it in my house. If you say you do it in your house, you'll never do it. Because the devil then will say, no, don't worry about it. You already got it. And if God is speaking to your heart right now like this, and you're nervous, like, what's going on? You're like, what's going on? And you're battling, you're fighting. Maybe it's not the devil trying to, maybe it's God saying, now it's time. Now it's time to be saved in truth. It's not always blaming things on the devil. Sometimes God wants to change your heart. Sometimes God is trying to show you that you need Christ. Right or no? God draws men unto himself for his glory. Now watch. Watch. If a professing Christian, someone that says, they're Christian, but not here. If a professing Christian does not talk about Jesus, not excited about Jesus, and being saved, could we say that he or she is not right with God in their hearts? Could we say that? All right, let's say someone's saved, someone truly saved, someone born again saved, okay? They're saved. They never talk about Jesus. They don't love. They don't forgive. They don't show love to others. They don't love Christ with all their heart. They have no passion for the Word of God. They don't talk about how they got saved to others. They can't even fellowship with the brethren. Oh, but when I got saved, it was awesome, man. Let me tell you about it. If someone says they're Christian and they cannot do that, would you think or say that they're right with God? Okay. Well, then what's your problem? So you just answered the question. So then I'm asking you, are you going around loving people, loving God, witnessing, telling others how you got saved from your heart? If you're not, according to you, you're not right with God. You said that, I didn't. Is that true? But watch this. Or maybe someone can't talk about Jesus in a personal way because they're not saved. You can't talk about someone you don't know. A lot of people talk about Jesus like Abraham Lincoln. It's a fact. It's historical fact. I believe there's a man 2,000 years ago died on the cross. It's all mechanical. It's just facts in their mind. But like, for example, do you believe in Abraham Lincoln? Of course. He existed, right? Of course. We don't deny that. Have you ever met him personally? No. So you can't tell me, you know, when I was sitting down, we drinking coffee, he was talking to me, I was talking to him. You can't talk to me about Abraham Lincoln in a personal way. Only what you've learned historically. Is it true? Some of you can talk about God as facts, like Abraham Lincoln. But you can't talk about Jesus from your heart, like you know him personally. Wow, that's a saved Christian. That someone can say, let me tell you how I got saved. Let me tell you when I was lost, but now I'm found. We sing the song Amazing Grace. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Well, tell me when you were lost. If you're here today and you never realized you were lost, you could be saved today. Let's finish with this. Look with me, please, in Mark 15. Now, do you remember that we read about Joseph of Arimathea? And it said he was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews. Remember that? Do you know something happened in Joseph's heart? He changed? Oh, yeah. We're going to close with this. Look with me in Mark 15. Mark 15:43. Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God. There's no more negativity about him. There's a change. And John, secret disciple. Mark totally deletes the secret, his backslidden condition, his fault. Mark totally deletes it. Because look, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him the body. What happened? What transformation happened, took place? John, disciple of Jesus, but secretly, and now he's coming to Pilate, the government, give me the body of Christ. I crave him. I want to take him and put him in the tomb. What happened? Secret disciple, bold witness. Secret disciple means he believed. He believed in God, but not publicly. He didn't really go around telling others about Jesus. He wasn't loving people publicly about Jesus because he was afraid. He cared about the praises of man more than the praises of God. What happened here? That's what I believe with all my heart. With all my heart. Joseph's counselor. He's with the Sanhedrin. He's with the other priests, politicians, people real big up at his work. Okay, at the temple. All of a sudden, he hears news. Did you hear what just happened to Jesus Christ? They're down on the cross. And Joseph's there. Oh, yeah, they're doing it. They're doing it. Man, they just plucked his beard. They beat him. They whipped him. They put a crown of thorns on his head, and blood's coming down. And then they put him up on a tree naked. And people were mocking him. And Joseph's like, oh, man, what? And they were mocking him. They spit on him. And they said, ah, and they accused him. If you're Christ, save yourself and us, and all this stuff. And Joseph of Arimathea is listening to this and remembering. I remember when Jesus was walking on earth, he said that the Son of Man must be lifted up. The Son of Man must die and be risen again. He said, remember in Isaiah, that the Messiah, the Son of God, has to be marred more than any man. And he starts remembering that it's for him, that Christ Jesus is dying for him. And then all of a sudden, Christ, and he said, you know what? All the accusers, you know what Jesus said before he died? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Till he, on light, on his earthly ministry, he was forgiving and loving. To his death, he's loving and forgiving sinners. I believe Joseph stood up and couldn't take it anymore. He started thinking about the cross. He started thinking about the how he's lost a filthy, wicked sinner. He sinned against God, a holy God. But God in his love and mercy wants to forgive him anyway and save him anyway. And Jesus Christ is hanging on the tree, crucified, nails in his hands. You know why? Why did Christ have to have nails in his hands? Because you touched things he shouldn't have touched. Why did Christ have to have nails in his feet? Because you walked in places you shouldn't have walked. Why did Christ have a spear in his side? Because your wicked heart thought vain imaginations and pride and bitterness and speak bad about your neighbor. And Christ Jesus had to be suffered in his heart for your heart to give you a new one, to save your soul from hell, to forgive you. And Christ Jesus died on the cross for your sins to save you from hell and take you to heaven. All you got to do is come. All you got to do is believe. And I believe Joseph was saying, I can't take it anymore. And I was like, what's going on? Because remember, he was a disciple, but secretly. Now he's not secret. He's like, I can't take it anymore. Thinking about the cross. Remember the day you got saved, you won't be a secret disciple anymore. Woo! You start getting excited, brother. The day that you were lost going to hell, but Christ came in your heart and saved you and cleaned you, put your feet on a rock, gave you eternal life. The grace of Jesus. Nothing's greater than grace. Nothing is greater than mercy. Amen. And then all of a sudden he said, brethren, this man Jesus who we're crucifying is my Savior. What? Joseph, he died for me and he died for you to give you eternal life. And he ran to Pilate, the governor, and said, give me the body. I've denied him. I was a secret disciple. I don't want to be secret anymore. I love him because he first loved me. And Pilate gave him the body. You know what that means? Joseph held Jesus like this. Joseph saw the scars. Joseph was looking at Jesus' face. You ever think about that? Joseph was looking at Jesus and laid him in the tomb. Let's pray and let's have a moment of silence. No one's looking around. Let's just take a moment of silence. Pastor, can I continue to speak? Let's just think about God for a minute. I have two invitations. Is there someone here that knows a lot about God in their mind? You know God. You believe in God. You know Jesus died on the cross. But you personally never came to him as a sinner going to hell, as a sinner needing a Savior. You never accepted Christ Jesus as your personal Savior into your heart. I invite you this morning, if you'd like to get saved, you can. Jesus wants to save you right now. Jesus wants to forgive you right now. Jesus wants to take you to heaven when you die. But you have to not just say, well, I believe in him. You have to accept him. You're Jesus. You're Savior. How? Recognizing that you're a sinner. And because of your sins, you're going to hell. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. You know why Jesus died on the cross? To save us from hell. If there's no hell, why did Jesus have to die? Jesus came to save you. Me? I'm not that bad. We're all bad. None of us are perfect. We all need a Savior. And Jesus gave his life to save you and to forgive you. But you have to make a decision. I want to be saved. You have to ask God for forgiveness and ask Christ to come in your heart and save you. Trusting that only through the blood of Jesus Christ, only through what Christ did on the cross, is sufficient to save your soul. Baptism can't save you. Being good, changing your life can't.